Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Very appropriate for this segment. The New York Times just sent out a smartphone blast. Policing in America, droves of police officers have quit in the last year in cities like New York and Seattle. In Asheville, North Carolina, more than a third of the officers have stepped down. Very timely to see that from the New York Times, as we're joined by former LAPD Chief Bill Bratton, his new memoir, The Profession. Bill, great to have you with us again on Air Talk. It's been a long time.
It's good to be back with you after all these years.
Yeah. First of all, let me get your response to this New York Times article that they're promoting. The degree of loss of police officers around the country, how serious is the problem?
Well, it's been happening over an extended period of time, but it's been accelerated, I think, subsequent to the events of the death of George Floyd. In the 90s, after the 1994 crime bill was passed, we put 100,000 additional police officers on the street to deal with the crime epidemic of the 90s. We went up to about 800,000 officers. I think the latest headcount on officers, police officers in the country, is about 670,000. So we're down 130,000 officers with a population that's about 30 or 40 million more than we had back then. We are also in the beginning of the worst crime wave since the 1990s, and it is just the beginning. It is not going to dissipate anytime soon. So the loss of those officers could not come at a worse time. LA has a lot of familiarity with this. When I came to the department in 2002, you had just lost almost 1,000 officers who had left because of dissatisfaction with the political leadership and the police chief at that time, my predecessor, Bernard Parks. It took me a while to get the department up to almost 10,000 officers. It has since lost a lot of those personnel through the misguided efforts of your political leadership to defund the police in LA. You get what you pay for, you're going to get a lot less law enforcement and potentially more crime with fewer police. That's the reality.
What do you say, though, to critics of American law enforcement who say that many of those officers need to go, and the departments need to recruit different types of officers who better relate to the communities that they serve, and that sort of a turnover of department personnel is a positive?
We've been doing that for years. Where have they been? The LAPD now has a majority-minority police force, Latino, Black, proportion of women is roughly proportionate to your population, with the exception of women, as gays, as transvestites. It reflects the community. So where have these people been for the last 25 years? And certainly that was a hallmark of my time, and then Charlie Beck, the recruiting efforts to diversify and get better talented people into the department. Policing, unfortunately, like society as a whole, is always going to have some bad officers. Judges, doctors, every profession has it, with no exception. I think we actually do a pretty good job screening out those who should not come in the first place. And we're getting a lot better at screening them out after they get in and basically go off the rails, if you will. No, so this idea of reforming the police, we've been doing it. There's not enough acknowledgement of just how much has been done. There's always going to be the need to do more. And so the fact that officers are leaving, you're losing a lot of very good officers who are very dissatisfied with the circumstances under which they have to work. No political support. No support by your now new district attorney in the county of Los Angeles. Not a lot of political support among many of your legislators. You can't blame a lot of them for leaving. It's trying times for police. Fortunately, many are staying, and even more fortunately, many young people still want to come into the profession of policing, which is the good news.
We're talking with Bill Bratton, his new book, The Profession, a memoir of community, race, and the arc of policing in America. I assume you meant to use the term trans when you were talking about that earlier. But, Bill, we have a listener, Stephen in Hollywood, who says, I supported California's three strikes law years ago, but recently voted for George Gascón as L.A. County D.A. I think three strikes was a disaster. I want reform like many other voters, and I want to hear what Bill Bratton thinks of efforts to reform the criminal justice system.
Where's he been? The predecessor that was my district attorney led the charge when I was there in 2002 against three strikes and you're out. He was basically pilloried by many of his counterparts and other district attorney officers around the state of California. I spoke out against three strikes and you're out from the get-go, both on the East Coast and then when I got to California. So three strikes, you're out was a disaster, as we know, led to over-incarceration and effectively many people going to jail who would have done better going into some other type of alternative type of rehabilitation or reform. One of the good things about the reform movement, it understands that not everybody has to go to jail. However, what it is turning a blind eye to is that many people, unfortunately, violent people, need to be in jail. The ones that are doing the shootings, the ones that are doing the rapes, that these are people that we seem to have forgotten that there is need for prison for some of these people. What happened over the last year or so with coronavirus, our criminal justice system basically collapsed in the United States. Courts closed, people would be arrested, immediately let out on bail or the new bail reform laws without bail. No supervision while they're out and going out committing war crimes. And you're seeing that repeatedly in your state with the absurd shoplifting law you have that wouldn't shoplift up to $939 and basically it's a freebie. And so criminal justice reform is necessary, but let's think it through. Let's not just jump in the bandwagon and put it through without thinking about the potential ramifications of that reform, which has a lot of unintended consequences.
We're talking with Bill Bratton, his new memoir, The Profession. If you have questions for him, we're at 866-893-KPCC. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or you can post on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. You were expressing criticism of the Defund the Police movement, but at heart in that is the move to have, instead of law enforcement that's armed responding to many of the cases of people in emotional distress, to have specially trained people respond to be able to de-escalate, to deal with those circumstances, and to try and avoid the kinds of escalation that sometimes occurs when a law enforcement officer arrives when a person is in crisis. Do you support the idea of, instead of police, having teams social worker type people specially trained to do that work?
I certainly do. We implemented that in 2007 when I was chief of police in Los Angeles. Smart cars. We were one of the first departments in America to put clinicians into police cars with officers to try to respond to some of the emotionally disturbed calls that we would get. But that idea is not new. It's been kicking around. What has limited it is, as always, the devil is in the details, and the details is the funding. Police would love to get out of the business of dealing with the homeless situation. We have the worst situation in America in LA and have had for 40 years. We would love to get away from dealing with the emotionally disturbed, who make up a significant part of the homeless population and about 50% of the jail population. We'd love to get away from dealing with the overdose victims that we save thousands of lives every year, particularly during the opioid epidemic. We were never basically intended to deal with society's failures of homelessness, the emotionally disturbed, or the narcotics addicted. But over time, in Los Angeles, probably the poster boy for this issue, police became the safety net. When society failed to create exactly what you're talking about and that everybody's talking about now, oh, great, let's take it away from the police that have done such an awful job. Let's create all these new entities. Well, that's wonderful if you have the money to do it. Right now in California, you might. You've got billions of dollars in surplus. Let's give it a try. Police will support that. Police would love to get away from something that gets them into so much trouble. But what we need to do is understand that police are still going to have to be involved in a collaborative effort with these new agencies. And police are going to have to be trained to work with them. That's going to take money. It's going to take time. Politicians love to have more cops, but they want them on the street. They don't want them in the classroom. and we're undertrained for years. Despite LA having the best trained police force in America, bar none, it is the best trained police force in America, probably the most professional. We've all seen its deficiencies from time to time. I certainly addressed a lot of them with the consent decree. But policing, the defund movement was a harsh attack on American policing. It then evolved after the rebuttal of the language of it, defund the police, abolish the police. It evolved into what we're now talking about, the president yesterday, refund the police, a term I used a couple of months ago. And I'm glad to see you now hear more of the term refund the police rather than defund, because you need more cops. You need better trained cops. You need cops that are going to be able to work with, hopefully, these new sociologists, these new clinicians, these new volunteers that will work in the community to deter violence. Police are all for that. LA has been supportive of that for 20 years. Myself, Beck Moore, working with Connie Rice and so many others. I talk a lot about this in the book. The book has a significant a number of chapters devoted to Los Angeles and what happened in LA.
And I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail when we come back. We're talking with former LAPD chief, two-time NYPD commissioner Bill Bratton, The Profession, a memoir of community, race, and the arc of policing in America. If you have questions for Bill Bratton, we're at 866-893-KPCC. We'll talk with him not only about police-community interaction, but also about homelessness and about, if he were still in Los Angeles, what approach he would take with the significant challenge of encampments on the Venice Boardwalk in downtown Los Angeles and elsewhere. We'll be back in 1 minute. LAPD chief back, oh gosh, how many years ago has it been? I lose track of time. Bill Bratton joining us on Air Talk following the Rodney King incident. And there was, as former chief just said, a federal consent decree on the LAPD and significant reforms that occurred. He mentioned Connie Rice, board member emeritus of Southern California Public Radio, worked very closely with him on a number of those departmental reforms. In fact, she blurbs the former chief's new book, The Profession, a memoir of community, race, and the arc of policing in America. It's hard to believe it's been over a decade. Bill, let's talk about some of that work you did in collaboration with Connie Rice and others to get into the community. So that bore real fruit. I mean, surveys showed that there was a much better sense of the police's presence when you embedded some of those specially trained units into areas of the community. But what's happened since then?
Well, I talk about in the book, Connie Rice, the Alliance partnership with her, we created an academy to train intervenants in the gang violence, taking former gang members, many of them, in their 30s and 40s, and put them into a specially constructed academy. Charlie Beck was very instrumental in creating that when he was working with me as an assistant chief. And it bore great fruit, the idea of these guys going back into the neighborhood to try and calm things down before a shooting, after a shooting. And that's a lot of what the president was talking about yesterday, basically funding to effectively try to prevent the gun violence before it occurs. And we're all about prevention. I talk a lot about Connie Rice, a community activist down in South LA, who's done so much to deal with the community and police relations in that historically very troubled part of the city. Last time I visited Connie writing this book, I went out with my co-author, Peter Nobler. We spent a day with her in her community center. She had just opened a dormitory for, I think it was either a dozen or 16 recently returning young men coming out of, I think, the county jails. And she was giving them a place to stay, to be mentored, to help them find jobs. So a lot of these self-help initiatives were just so instrumental in helping to reduce the violence and improve the race relation issue between the LAPD and the various populations that they work with in the city.
So what has led to the fraying of that? When we look at surveys now of Angelenos' relationships to law enforcement, pretty much every group but African Americans gives them high marks in the surveys that the Center for the Study of LA at LMU have conducted. But for African Americans, you continue to see very high dissatisfaction rates. Why?
combination of things. Historic, for one, the treatment of that community by the police in the United States, but specifically the long legacy of long abuse by the LAPD up to the 21st century. Still extraordinary high crime rates of violence, shootings, murders, other crime and disorder in the African-American community out of proportion to the size of their population. And it's not just LA, it's literally every major city around the country. So that's an issue that draws more police into the neighborhood and more tense interaction. So that creates some of it. It's a whole history of issues that the police tend to be on the in the forefront of all those issues, whether it's frustration over lack of education, lack of employment opportunity, lack of opportunity to live in better neighborhoods. Police bear the brunt of it because they're the ones that you call and we come. Many other city agencies, many other institutions, basically you have to go to them. And so police historically are the ones that will come, and we come in the moment of crises. So some of the increased tension over the last several years is that some of it's just kind of the spread of the issue around concerns around race that exploded with George Floyd. Nobody expected that explosion in terms of 20 million people out there marching, not just African-Americans, but the American population. So it's a time of reckoning, if you will.
I was just going to say that gap in the poll, though, it is wider now, but it exists even before the killing of George Floyd. So there's still, even prior to that, was dissatisfaction among African-American Angelenos about policing. If you were chief now, I want to ask you about homelessness. What approach would you take? We were talking yesterday with Chief Michael Moore, and he was expressing a bit of frustration about some of the policies coming from city officials about how Parks Department deals with people's belongings on the beach, and that people just end up getting released, going back to the place where they lived on the boardwalk before. What would you do?
We attempted to do a lot during my time. We made some progress, but then with many court rulings coming down from the Ninth Circuit, ruling against police enforcement actions, ACLU constantly suing. Los Angeles has some of the largest warehouses in the country, like Amazon, except what they're warehousing are the belongings of the homeless. When an officer takes a homeless person into custody for whatever purpose, he has to inventory everything in those shopping carts, everything in those tents, and then it has to be put into storage in these huge warehouses. So you can imagine the police would not like to have that responsibility, never knowing what's in all of that material that they're going through. I can understand Mike Moore's frustration, because Charlie Beck had it, I had it, Chief Parks had it. Police basically the entity that is the safety net that society has created to catch all this. I wish I had more answers for you. I don't.
I want to thank you so much, Bill Bratton, former LAPD chief. His brand new memoir, The Profession, a memoir of community, race, and the arc of policing in America. From all of us at Air Talk, have a very good day.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.